Hey there, Roamers. Welcome to the Roam in Your Home podcast and YouTube channel, where we get to hear from full-time RVers, unpack their experiences, and learn actionable advice to help you roam in your home too. I'm your host, Jamie Williams. Thank you so much for being here. Buckle up, my friend. Let's get ready to go on an adventure together right now. Welcome back to the podcast. It's hard to believe this is our 15th episode. We just celebrated 3 months of this podcast, and I'm having an absolute blast. I'm so thankful for all the awesome guests that have been part of the show, and I have so many more on the schedule, and I can't wait to share those conversations with you too. A huge thank you to all the amazing listeners that come back each week to listen. Your support means the world to me, and I don't take it lightly that you take the time to listen each week. If you're new here, welcome. You can catch up on all the episodes on your favorite podcast platform, or you can listen to each episode on our YouTube channel, or you can listen on our website at roaminyourhome.com/podcast. And for anyone listening for the first time, I'm Jamie from Roam in Your Home, and my husband Randy and I have been full-time RVers since 2017. And you can go back to episode 12 to hear our story. And the goal of this podcast is to give people a glimpse of RV life and hear from real full-time RVers that are living the dream. We pull back the curtain and ask all the questions and get all the answers of what we wish we knew before we started full-time RVing. My goal is to share these real-life conversations with you each week so that you can get the information that you need to be able to roam in your home too. Today, I'm so excited to share part two of my conversation with Jason and Jen from No Sticks, No Bricks. If you haven't listened to part one yet, go now and listen, then come back to listen to this episode because you won't want to miss either one. Jason and Jen are both retired veterans with 45 combined years of service. They have RV'd for the past 25 years together and are on their 7th RV so far. They share a ton of valuable information. I learned so much from them, and I know you will too. So I won't make you wait any longer. Let's jump right back into where part one left off. What has been your top five favorite locations, if you can narrow it down? And I know it changes as you keep, you know, traveling and stuff, but if you could, yeah, tell us what has been your top five favorites.
All right. Should we start at number five? We'll start at number five. You can pick. We have them written down here.
I mean, they're just our top five.
Yeah, we don't really have a favorite.
So one, the Florida Keys down there right in Key West. That's probably.
Yeah, that's definitely top five.
Definitely top five. The New England states, I think they're all beautiful.
Yeah, we really liked Acadia National Park and White Mountain area. Mount Washington, that's all beautiful.
Oh, I can't wait to go there. That is on our list.
I might be a little biased since I'm from that way, but it's beautiful.
Yeah, Jennifer actually grew up in Maine. She's a Kaupaka.
Yep. No way! I didn't pick up an accent.
I have to have a lot of drinks and be by my family.
Her mom and dad still live up there. In fact, we're going to go back up and visit them this fall. And it usually takes at least my brain a couple days to kind of rewire to understand what they're saying because they have thick New England accents.
Oh, that's awesome.
I left for the Air Force. And then I think because we've traveled everywhere, I just don't really have one anymore. I lost it.
Yeah.
And then the Oregon coast is absolutely beautiful.
Love that.
The Upper Peninsula of Michigan.
Yeah, we spent all summer in Michigan last year, and that was amazing.
I could definitely go back and spend another whole summer. And then, of course, Colorado.
Yeah.
Yes.
Love Colorado.
Those are our top five right now.
Oh, I love that. So the only one that we've been to on your list is Colorado. In 2018, while we were traveling for a travel therapy contract, we just were there like a half a day because it was like number one on our bucket list. And we realized we were staying in, I think, Laramie, Wyoming, overnight, and we realized that 2 hours away was Rocky Mountain National Park, and that was first time we ever saw, you know, Colorado. So we thought we got to stay an extra day just to go see it. So we were just there half a day, and then in 2022, so 2 years ago, we ended up going for 10 weeks and just fell in love. Actually, we were there, I think, about 9 weeks, and then there was another week of travel, but
we were 9 different places and just fell in love with the whole state. We can't wait to go back. We have so much more to see. Oh,
I know. That goes back to, like, there's so much to see. Like, we spent probably a month in Colorado and never made it to Rocky Mountain National Park. Like,
oh my gosh, you got to go back to see it.
We did go to a different national park.
We didn't go to any in Colorado. We were going to go to the Mesa Verde National Park, but...
The Black Canyon.
That, oh yeah, we did. That's right. We went to Black Canyon of Gunnison National Park. Have you been? That is amazing. Yes.
So we did all 4, and did you guys drive down to the bottom?
Of the national park?
Yeah, the Black Canyon, the Gunnison. Did you know you could drive down to the bottom?
Well, I don't...
When we were there, all the trails for off-roading were closed because they had snow on them still.
Oh, okay.
We got there really early in May.
Most people do not know, I don't know why, it is not advertised. There is a road that as soon as you go past, like, the gate to get in, the road, you know how you stay straight and you see all, like, the overlooks, you could drive to the end, and it was really beautiful. Yeah. Well, there's a road to the right, and it's, like, I don't know, East Portal Road or something like that, and it's not, doesn't say, like, down to the Canyon Road or anything like that, and so a lot of people miss it, and we just took it just to see what was down there, and then all of a sudden, we are driving down to the bottom of the canyon. It was incredible.
I can tell you, we did not know that road exists.
I did not. And
we were there a couple times, I think.
Yeah, we tried to do.
See, now we got to go back.
Yep.
You have to go back because it's so much fun. We were in that area for about a week, so we went back again the next time, and at every single overlook, because I'm a talker anyway, and I just love to give, you know, information out, and you know, if somebody doesn't know, and so I'm like meeting all these people at the overlooks, and I'm telling everybody about the road to the bottom. Not one person knew about it.
Well, you just informed somebody else because we didn't know about it either.
Oh, it's incredible. The one lady, she actually started crying because she was like, my mom is here and she can't get out. And I just feel like she's missing everything. And because she was handicapped. And I said, oh my gosh, she's going to love it. It's the most incredible view.
A whole different perspective on the park when you're looking up at everything instead of down.
Yes. Oh, it's so cool. And there's like a river down there. People were fishing and kayaking. We saw a deer at the bottom, just walking right by the Jeep. It was so awesome. So definitely you could actually tent camp down there too.
I'm gonna have to get on RV Trip Wizard here real quick and probably set up a
Well, the other places that you mentioned, I'm telling you, like, especially the Upper Peninsula, we're from Ohio. We never been to Michigan.
Oh.
I just recently saw everybody's pictures of the Upper Peninsula. And I'm like, where is this magical place?
Oh, it is.
I had no clue that it was like
that. Amazing. I mean, imagine being in the continental U.S. in July and it never gets above like 72.
I had no idea. I had no idea it was like that. That's so crazy. Yeah.
And the water, crystal clear. Like the Great Lakes, that water is like tropical. It looks like you're in the Bahamas. It's beautiful.
That's exactly what the pictures look like. I keep showing my friends and family in Ohio. I'll show them, like, the, if you just Google it, you know, Upper Peninsula and all the pictures, the images that come up. And I'll say, look at this. I'm like, oh, where is that? The Bahamas? I'm like, no, it's Michigan.
Yeah, Mackinac Island is amazing. Oh, it's just all amazing.
And we lived in Florida for 20 years and never been to the Keys. Never.
You guys got some planning to do too then.
We totally do. We have so many things. Our bucket list keeps growing. It, even though we cross off so many things, it just keeps growing. So
yeah, that's how it should be though, right? You don't want to run out.
I know. That's true. Oh no, we're so excited about seeing more things and even add more stuff on there. But you guys gave us more things to add on. So I'm so glad you mentioned that. So good. And now I always ask people what they do to stay safe. I know when we started, we didn't have anybody in our family or even our friends that ever RV'd before. And so a lot of people were so, you know, scared for us, like, oh, this is dangerous and you're going to run into different things and how to be safe on the road or just inside your RV. And you know, we weren't actually worried until everybody started asking us about it, but we have never had any issues, not one time, but I wanted to find out from you guys, what do you do to stay safe? And has there been any scary experiences for you guys on the road?
So one thing we do to stay safe that's kind of happening right now is we have a weather radio.
Nice.
So right now, as you probably know in Ohio, we have the weather, you know, we have the TV on, but
a weather radio is so important.
And so we do have like a go bag for that type for severe weather.
So smart.
You got to have something, you know. And
are you familiar with Ryan Hall, y'all?
What is it?
Called Ryan Hall, y'all.
No.
He is a YouTuber like us, except he is a professional weather analyst and he has an entire team. So basically when there's inclement weather anywhere in the US, he goes live. He's live right now.
No commercials.
No commercials, 100% coverage. He's got an entire team. He's got wet storm chasers that are sending in live feeds. I mean, it's awesome. And he is like the perfect weatherman for travelers because no matter where you are, he's going to be covering that area if there's inclement weather.
Yeah.
Oh, that is a huge tip. Thank you so much for sharing that. I'm going to follow him for sure.
We had just posted it on our Facebook page with his link, just so everybody's aware, mm-hmm. because we're kind of new to him as well. We found him from other RVers that use him.
Oh, that is so helpful. Yes, I had no idea that that even existed, that he was doing that. And that's so important. I'm glad you guys mentioned it.
Yeah, definitely.
And then so with our weather radio, we just change it to the location that we're at. You can do it by zip code or county or whatever. And so whenever we start our setup process, it's just one of the things mm-hmm. we do. This way, at least if middle of the night, you know, you're sleeping and
yeah.
somebody's in your phone's off or whatever, that thing will go off and it'll wake you up.
Oh, yeah.
It's as loud as anything.
It has before.
That is so smart. You know, we've been doing this for 7 years and still don't have one. And that's even embarrassing to even say. I am ashamed to even say it because that is so important. It only takes one storm.
Right. And it's almost always in the middle of the night when you're sleeping too.
Exactly. When we first started, I saw a video that they actually recorded themselves in the RV as it was going through a tornado.
Oh my gosh.
Thankfully, they lived. I was crying watching
Crazy.
It. And you would think that that would be enough for me to order it. And just Amazon. I mean, I, you know, just need to add it to the cart.
Right. That's how we got ours. And we always figure out where the closest shower house is in every RV park. And in case we need to run to it, we know exactly where it's at. We actually have a go bag that's already packed with medicine, dog food, and essential items in case, you know, our RV gets completely wiped out. This is our home. We have nothing else but this.
So. That is so smart. I definitely want to do that when I get back. I'm so going to do that when I get back to the RV. I'm so glad you said that. I promise I'm doing it.
And then a couple other things we do security wise is we do carry. I mean, we are from Alaska and we yeah. do have weapons. Luckily, we've never had to use or pull them ever.
Good.
We've got a security system, alarm system. In the RV, Simply Safe. And then we also have cameras outside and inside of the RV. And the way we are security conscious now versus how we were when we were first started on the road is completely different because we did have an incident
oh.
that changed everything.
Okay.
So our e-bikes were stolen, basically, is what happened. So we had two e-bikes and they were outside, locked up. Covered. This was in Las Vegas, Thousand Trails, Las Vegas. And if you've ever been to Thousand Trails, Las Vegas, it gives you some clues that something's not right when you first enter the park because there's Constantine wire around the top of the park.
Oh, wow.
So we should have known at first. And
plus all the reviews. We should have known.
Yeah, but you know, it's Thousand Trails, so it was free for us to stay.
Right.
We're only going to be there for a couple of weeks. We ended up only staying a week and then we left because it was so bad.
Wow.
So basically, they hopped over the fence and they bolt-cutted the cable that we had securing our e-bikes, and then they rode out the park with them. So that changed kind of the way we did things because we basically said to everyone what you said not even 5 minutes ago is nothing's ever happened. Everything's been fine. We've never had any incidents, and it's always worked for us, and then until it doesn't.
Wow.
I mean, it was broad daylight. It was 6 a.m. We were still sleeping.
Oh, wow.
But if you're light out, we got them on video. The parks got them on video riding the bikes out of the park. Cops didn't care. We gave all that stuff to them. They were like, they gave it a week and they called us like, we can't find your bikes. We're closing your case. They got murders and stuff going on in Vegas. So it was very low priority for them.
But still, it's a lot of money.
Oh, yeah. A couple grand gone.
Wow. Did they cut the wires? Is that what you said?
Yeah, so our neighbor actually caught them.
Oh my gosh.
Yelled at them, saw what they were doing, yelled at them because he was outside. And they dropped their bolt cutters, dropped their bag, a backpack full of other crap that they had stolen throughout the night and left it. Because when I got up in the morning, I looked outside the window. I'm like, what is that bag doing there? That's the first thing I noticed. And I walked outside and I saw the cord laying there cut in half and the bikes were gone. I'm like, oh no.
Oh my gosh. I can't believe that happened right in broad daylight.
Yep, broad daylight.
With the neighbor that caught them. Wow.
Yeah, and he actually ran after him. It was kind of funny when we were reviewing the video, we saw him chasing after the bikes.
Aw, That was so nice of him.
We thanked him and everything, but they're gone. So we'll never see them again.
Wow. And so what do you guys do different now?
So now, specifically with the e-bikes, is we do have the toy hauler. So now they go inside the garage or inside the clam, like we discussed. And inside the clam, we have kryptonite locks to lock them to like a picnic table, something heavy.
Okay.
And then we also have bike alarms on them that are really loud. And we actually put Apple AirTags on them.
Oh, so smart.
If they do end up getting stolen after all that, then we can at least track them down and find them.
Oh, that's a great idea. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, we're just a lot more safety conscious now instead of just like, oh, that works for us. Nothing's ever happened. That means it never will. Well, that's not the case.
Yeah.
Nothing ever happens until it does. So
that's true. I'm glad you guys mentioned that because, yeah, you do, when you go through several years of nothing happening, you do get kind of lazy and lax about stuff. And well, that's good. And then have you guys had any issues with your RV or any of your RVs? Because when we were researching, everybody kept saying it's not if but when something happens, and we were just waiting and waiting. And of course, we've been through so much. But how about you guys? What kind of issues have you guys had, and how'd you handle it?
Your timing is actually pretty incredible because tomorrow we leave to head to Grand Design and drop our RV off for warranty repairs, including frame flex, like a lot of people have. And we're going to be out of our RV for about a month.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, we definitely had problems. Luckily, I was a mechanic. I work maintenance in the military, so I can pretty much fix just about anything that pops up RV related, except, I can't fix frame flex or things that are under warranty I'm not going to touch. So.
Right. Wow.
So, yeah, we definitely have some issues.
Oh, and so where are you guys going to stay?
So we're actually getting an RV from a friend of ours is letting us borrow their RV while ours is in the shop.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah, so we're picking that up on Friday, and then we have all weekend to transfer all our stuff, and then on Monday we drop ours off, and they said about a month, so we're hoping it's no longer than that.
Oh, that is so stressful. I'm so sorry that you guys are going through that.
Yeah.
I really hope it gets fixed quicker and you're back on the road in your own RV soon.
We're just blessed that we have great friends and we're still going to be in an RV. And it was going to cost us like $4,000 to stay in a hotel with three dogs.
Oh, no, that's terrible. Oh, my gosh. I never even thought about having to actually stay somewhere for a month with dogs. Yeah.
Yeah. So... We're very blessed.
That is. Oh, that's such a huge blessing. And then how will your dogs handle it? Are they okay to go into a new place or do they get scared?
Yeah. I mean, being military dogs, we've had them for quite a few years and they've moved a lot, especially our dog.
Okay.
She's lived in like three different countries and four different cities. Yeah. They're used to it now.
They're good travelers.
Plus, they're just used to traveling. So.
And as long as you're there and their favorite toy or whatever.
As long as we have their bed, their food, and they have a bed to sleep in, they don't care.
Aw, that's so good. Well, I wish you guys the best on that. I'll definitely be watching to find out the updates on that repair and how everything's going in the friend's borrowed RV.
We'll have it on YouTube.
Yep.
Yeah, for sure. Oh my gosh. Well, you guys obviously get along so well. You can tell. That's why I love following you on Instagram. You can just see you guys are just so cute together and hilarious. But what are tips for getting along while living in such a small space? Have you guys had any issues, or what do you find that really works for you guys?
Well, when we got the Jeep on travel days, so I follow behind him. So that kind of gives me time so I can listen to my audiobook. I can listen to whatever type of music I want to listen to without, hearing,
sports podcasts.
Sports podcasts.
Right.
And stuff. And then when we're in the RV, it's kind of the same thing. Sometimes I'll be like, I'm just going to go grocery shopping by myself. I don't need you with me. Or I'll go for a walk, or I'll read my book. And
we rarely fight or argue. You do learn, your partner's tendencies, I guess. So which kind of goes back to the video you're talking about earlier. The one we did with Clay and Maria, that kind of highlights what you learn from your spouse in a small space.
And we've been together so long, certain looks, certain phrases, if I'm like, I'm fine.
Yeah.
Okay, so I need to leave her alone.
I'm going for a ride on the bike.
Yeah. And we do our own thing. We have so many friends on the road, and I'll go spend a whole day doing, getting our nails done or just walking around Target, just to walk around, and that's something that he doesn't like to do because he doesn't like that.
Same thing with my husband. Yeah, he's like, I'll wait in the car. Oh, that's so good. Well, very good advice. It is so good to have your own stuff to do and, you know, your own friends outside, and then be able to know, kind of read each other when you're together in a small space. If somebody's irritated or whatever, then the other person could go take a walk or go for a ride or whatever. But yeah, and I think too, and we've talked to so many other people about this as well, that it really depends on too your relationship prior to RVing.
Yeah.
If it wasn't good before, it's not going to get better.
Oh, no.
I would think it would get worse in 300
Totally.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. But we've always had a great relationship. Mm-hmm. We do pretty much everything. I mean, we're best friends. So.
Yeah.
Yep, exactly. And that's what makes it work. And I think that's so important prior to considering this RV life. You got to have a good relationship and, you know, value the other person and have more of the friends part of it as well. And then you get along just fine in an RV.
That's right.
And so what advice would you guys give to someone who's considering this RV life? And you guys can talk to just anybody, or you could even just talk to the person that is the veteran that's considering doing this too, whatever you want. But I'd love to hear your advice.
So we get asked this a lot. And the number one thing that I tell people, if they're planning on full-time RVing, is to start downsizing early and downsize in stages.
That's if you're going to get rid of your house.
Yeah. If you're going full-time RV, you're full-time selling it all. Start selling stuff or getting rid of stuff 2 years out, and just like every quarter or so, get rid of more stuff and more stuff, because you're going to find out that you can really live without a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That is such good advice. I never thought of that, but it is so true. We did not do that. We actually sold our home overnight.
Oh, wow.
We thought we would have months to actually sell, and we got a cash buyer the next day, and we were kind of freaking out.
Yeah,
and we were going to be going into this RV, and it was our first RV. We didn't know how to live in an RV. So that's great advice. Take some time to get rid of stuff, and you really can live well without a lot of stuff.
Right. And especially like in our case, when we knew we were going to be retiring. So we knew our income was going to be slashed like significantly. So that's when we purchased our Thousand Trails membership while we were working. That way, that was paid off. By the time we retired, that was paid off. The truck was, everything was pretty much paid off when we hit the road. So then we had more fun money.
Yeah, that's so smart to actually prepare while you have income for the Thousand Trail membership. That's really smart. Good advice.
And then the other thing is, if you don't know what type of RV you want, I mean, we had already had seven. So, and we
six.
Had six. Right. Now we have, you know, we knew what we wanted, what we were looking for, but there's people who have like never RV'd before like that. And I would say if you can, you try to rent one yourself to drive. Or sometimes you can rent some that are already stationary just to see if you like the way
the
small spaces.
Or kind of goes back to getting along with your spouse. Rent an RV for maybe like 2 or 3 weeks. Go on a vacation with your spouse and see if that's going to work for you, because it's not for everybody.
No. That's true. That's good advice as well.
You know, you have to deal with, you know, you got a black tank, you got, you know, your gray water. I mean, there's things that you don't worry about when you have, I mean, yeah, you have to worry about your septic or whatever, but when you have to be the one to do something with it, then that kind of changes things.
Yeah, it's a whole new way of life. We didn't even know the term black tank or gray tank when we started. We never even heard of the word fifth wheel. We had no, we called everything an RV or a camper. We did not know anything. And there's a lot to learn.
It's funny. We always hear people call our trailer, that's not an RV. They think an RV is you have to drive it.
Yes. That is like so funny, because we never thought that. We thought everything was an RV. And there was so many people when we said that we bought our RV, it was a fifth wheel. They're like, oh, that's not an RV.
Like, RV is a recreational vehicle.
Yeah. Right. We've had so many conversations like that. Yes, it is an RV. Everything's an RV.
Yeah.
That's funny. And then we always get asked, one of the biggest questions that people have is, how do we get our mail? And so how do you guys get your mail?
So we have a traveling mailbox. It's actually called the traveling mailbox, and it's in Sanford, North Carolina. And so it's just a mailing address. I mean, nowadays you can go digital with everything. So you can do your paperless billing, your paperless statements, and all that. So we do get some stuff there. So we use that. And then we have friends in Alaska that we use more for like the DMV and our healthcare, because you got to have that address for that. And then they just get the mail for us. And if it's anything important, they'll send it to us.
Oh, that's so good.
The way the traveling mailbox works is our mail will go to there. They will scan just the envelope and then we can look at it and we can determine whether we want them to open it or shred it if it's junk mail or whatever. And if we want them to open it, we just click a button on our phone on the app, and they'll open it and scan the contents. Then we can look at that. And then we can determine whether we want them to shred it or forward it to us wherever we are for a fee. So that's how it works. And it's very easy, but we don't really get a whole lot of mail. Like Jen said, everything's pretty much digital these days. Mm-hmm. And we get some mail, but not much.
And if we want to get packages, which is normally the big thing with most RVers, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, birthday cards and all that stuff, that's but when you want to get parts for your RV or stuff from Amazon, then we do Amazon hub lockers, campgrounds.
Yeah, postal annexes.
Perfect.
We don't do general delivery at post offices, just based off of stories that we've heard from other people doing it. This doesn't seem like a...
Well, they usually want you to pay for like an entire month, and you might not only be in that area for a week or two.
Well, not general delivery. Goes to a general delivery, but yeah.
That's so interesting. And then you were talking about the Amazon lockers. That's such a cool idea that they do that. We used one for the first time in Colorado, and that's so easy. It's like, I didn't even know that existed.
Right. And a lot of people don't know that besides Amazon lockers, there's Amazon stores, basically, that like Walgreens, Michaels will take Amazon. You can have Amazon stuff sent there.
Yeah.
What else? The CVS pharmacies will do it a lot.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow. I had no idea. That's so good to know.
Yeah, because we have dogs who get either prescription, you know, pills or dog food, and then us too. And then we've been to RV campgrounds where they don't take packages. And so then we're trying to scramble and trying to find something. We usually try to plan, but there were some times this summer that every place we went, there was nobody accepted a package. You know, if you're at a state park, a Corps of Engineer parks, and then you have to get creative. And then we start calling around. And then I just happened to run into somebody that was like, oh, the Walgreens down the road. And so I called them and they're like, you just have to use our address. And I was like, perfect.
Yeah. And they don't charge either. Yeah.
Wow. That's so good to know. I had no idea. I just recently heard from somebody that said they were at a place that didn't accept packages. We've never run into that.
Yeah, we've run into it a few times. Almost every state park you stay at won't accept packages. Right. Almost every Corps of Engineer park or federally owned, like National Forest Park or whatever, mm-hmm. they never accept packages.
Some of the military fan camps, they don't accept packages.
No. Oh, I never knew that.
Almost all Thousand Trails do, but a lot of them charge $5-$10, something like that.
Wow.
Per package. Yeah.
I didn't know that either, but we're not part of Thousand Trails, but that's good to know, because it's something that we were considering getting that membership. So interesting. Great information. And then I know you guys are retired and have your retirement military income, but is there anything else you guys do to make money on the road?
YouTube, honestly.
Yay.
That's our other income is YouTube, our No Sticks, No Bricks channel. And we don't make a whole lot off. We didn't do it for the income. It's more to create an archive of our adventures. For one thing we always tell people is, how cool would it be to watch your great grandparents' YouTube videos from like the 20s or the 30s?
Yes.
Like, how awesome would that be? So, you know, 50 years from now, our great great grandchildren can watch our adventures and see how much it's changed between now and the future. So,
yes. Oh, I love that. It is so good. You know, Randy and I don't have any children, but it's so neat to be able to look back and just have this video storybook that we get to watch. And there's even videos that we'll go back and we'll watch and we're like, I forgot about that. How cool is that?
Right. And we refer to our old videos a lot, because we'll be having a conversation with somebody and they'll be like, well, where were you when you did that? I'm like, crap, I gotta go look at the video because I don't remember where we were. And then I'd be like, oh, that's where we were. Yeah, right there.
Yeah, that is so good. I love that you guys are documenting your experiences, and I'm excited to keep following your YouTube as well. And
thank you.
You guys are so much fun. Thank you so much for being here. You have shared so much information. I love these conversations because even after 7 years, I learned so much. And I have written on my to-do list now to go back when I get to the RV and order the weather radio and pack my go bag, because that was so smart. That's such great advice.
I don't think I've ever heard anybody say, man, I wish I wouldn't have got that stupid weather radio.
Exactly. You're so right. I don't think any single person has regretted that purchase. So I'm so glad that you mentioned it. And I put it off for way too long. And so I'm glad that you mentioned it, especially being in Ohio. We have had some tornado warnings and even one touchdown about a mile from where we're at about a couple weeks ago. And so, yeah, we definitely need to get one.
Yeah. It's kind of like if you walk through a cemetery, you don't see any headstones that say, if I'd only spend more time at work.
That is so true.
Life's too short.
Oh, that's so true. Well, thank you guys. This has been such a great conversation. So much fun. I look forward to continuing to watch your adventures, and I wish you the best with your RV repairs, and keep making us all laugh every day. I absolutely love your posts.
Thank you so much.
You guys are so much fun. I'm really looking forward to keeping up with watching your YouTube and your Instagram, and I hope to see you on the road one day.
Absolutely. Yes. Thank you so much for having us, and safe travels.
Wasn't that such a fun conversation? Jason and Jen were so awesome to share so much valuable information, and I love their generosity to offer to help answer any questions that veterans have about traveling. I would like to personally thank them for bringing up the weather radio and being more prepared to be safe when traveling. I am proud to say that Randy and I are now the owners of a brand new weather radio, and we finally have peace of mind, especially when we're in areas more prone to tornadoes like we are right now in Ohio. We shouldn't have waited this long to buy one, and I'm so glad that they reminded me about it. So if you aren't already following them, please go right now and subscribe to their YouTube channel and follow them on Instagram and Facebook. They are hilarious and will give you your daily laugh. As Jason mentioned in part one, laughter really is the best medicine, and I couldn't agree more. You will find all the links of what we discussed and their social media in our show notes and on our website at roamyourhome.com/nosticksnobricks. Come back each week because I have so many fun interviews coming up. You won't want to miss these great conversations filled with so many awesome tips and travel information. I learned so much and I know you will too, so come back each week. Thanks so much for listening, and I hope to see you on the road. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Roam in Your Home podcast and YouTube channel. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd love it if you would subscribe to our show and consider giving us a 5-star review. It's free and would mean the world to us and help us grow. If you know anyone who would also enjoy this podcast, please share it with a friend. I would also love to connect with you on Instagram or Facebook at Roam in Your Home. Come back next week for another fun adventure. But until then, stay safe, and we hope to see you on the road.